ಶ್ರೀ ಗಣೇಶಾಯ ನಮಃ. ಓಂ ಶ್ರೀ ಸರಸ್ವತ್ಯೈ ನಮಃ. ಓಂ ಶ್ರೀ ಗುರುಭ್ಯೋ ನಮಃ. ಸದಾಶಿವಸಮಾರಂಭಾಂ ಶಂಕರಾಚಾರ್ಯಮಧ್ಯಮಾಂ ಸ್ಮದಾಚಾರ್ಯಪರ್ಯಂತಾಂ ವಂದೇ ಗುರುಪರಂಪರಾಂ ಶ್ರುತಿಸ್ಮೃತಿಪುರಾಣಾನಾಂ ಆಲಯಂ ಕರುಣಾಲಯಂ. ನಮಾಮಿ ಭಗವತ್ಪಾದ ಶಂಕರಂ ಲೋಕಶಂಕರಂ ಶಂಕರಂ ಶಂಕರಾಚಾರ್ಯಂ ಕೇಶವಂ ಬಾದರಾಯಣಂ ಸೂತ್ರಭಾಷ್ಯಕೃತೌ ವಂದೇ ಭಗವಂತೌ ಪುನಃ ಪುನಃ. ಈಶ್ವರೋ ಗುರುರಾತ್ಮೇತಿ ಮೂರ್ತಿಭೇದವಿಭಾಗಿನೇ ವ್ಯೋಮವದ್ವ್ಯಾಪ್ತದೇಹಾಯ ದಕ್ಷಿಣಾಮೂರ್ತಯೇ ನಮಃ. ಸಮಸ್ತಜನಕಲ್ಯಾಣೇ ನಿರತಂ ಕರುಣಾಮಯಂ ನಮಾಮಿ ಚಿನ್ಮಯಂ ದೇವಂ ಸದ್ಗುರುಂ ಬ್ರಹ್ಮವಿದ್ವರಂ. ಮೂಕಂ ಕರೋತಿ ವಾಚಾಲಂ ಪಂಗುಂ ಲಂಘಯತೆ ಗಿರಿಂ ಯತ್ಕೃಪಾತಮಹಂ ವಂದೇ ಪರಮಾನಂದಮಾಧವಂ ಪರಮಾನಂದಮಾಧವಂ. The text that we are going to start is Upadesha Sara. Sara is essence. Upadesha is teaching. So essence of the teaching. So before we start the text, let us chant a verse which we shall chant every day also, which is a shloka of worship of Bhagavan Ramana Maharshi. This is from Shri Ramana Chatvarimshat, 40 verses composed by Shri Kavyakanta Ganapati Muni. ಶ್ರೀ ರಮಣ ಚತ್ವಾರಿಂಶತ್ 40 ಚತ್ವಾರಿಂಶತ್ 40. ಸೊ ವಾಟ್ 40 ವರ್ಸಸ್ ಆನ್ ಭಗವಾನ್ ರಮಣ. ಅಂತರ್ಯಶ್ಚ ಬಹಿರ್ವಿಧೂತತಿಮಿರಂ ಜ್ಯೋತಿರ್ಮಯಂ ಶಾಶ್ವತಂ ಸ್ಥಾನಂ ಪ್ರಾಪ್ಯ ವಿರಾಜತೆ ವಿನಮತ. ಅಜ್ಞಾನಮುನ್ಮೂಲಯನ್ ಪಶ್ಯನ್ ವಿಶ್ವಮಪೀದಮುಲ್ಲಸತಿಯೋ ವಿಶ್ವಸ್ಯ ಪಾರೇ ಪರಃ ತಸ್ಮೈ ಶ್ರೀರಮಣಾಯ ಲೋಕಗುರವೇ. ಶೋಕಸ್ಯ ಹಂತ್ರೇ ನಮಃ. ಐಲ್ ಜಸ್ಟ್ ಚಾಂಟ್ ಮೈಸೆಲ್ಫ್. ಅಂತರ್ಯಶ್ಚ ಬಹಿರ್ವಿಧೂತತಿಮಿರಂ ಜ್ಯೋತಿರ್ಮಯಂ ಶಾಶ್ವತಂ ಸ್ಥಾನಂ ಪ್ರಾಪ್ಯ ವಿರಾಜತೆ ವಿನಮತಾಂ ಅಜ್ಞಾನಮುನ್ಮೂಲಯನ್ పశ్యన్ విశ్వమపీదముల్లసతియో విశ్వస్య పారే పరః తస్మై శ్రీరమణాయ లోకగురవే శోకస్య హంత్రే నమః. This verse definitely will be put on the board, and you know, outside you can copy. This we will chant every day. For Upadesha Saram, I mean. So just let the meaning a little bit. Antar yascha, yascha, he who. Antaha బహి విదూతతిమిరం జ్యోతిర్మయం శాశ్వతం స్థానం ప్రాప్య విరాజతే. సో వన్ హూ హ్యాస్ అటైన్డ్ ప్రాప్య, ఆఫ్టర్ హ్యావింగ్ అటైన్డ్ ప్రాప్య, ఆఫ్టర్ హ్యావింగ్ అటైన్డ్ వాట్ స్థానం, దట్ అబోర్డ్. Which abode is that? Shashvatam. Shashvatam is eternal. Jyotirmayam. Jyotirmayam means full of light, which means consciousness. So one who has, one after having attained that abode, which is eternal, which is of the nature of consciousness, and which is the cessation of ignorance, both within and outside. Antaha means inside, bahihi means outside. Vidhuta timiram, which is where darkness has been, where there is no touch of ajnana, that is what it means. Beyond ignorance. So after having such a state, attained such a state, virajate, virajate, he shines, virajate. Rajate means to shine. Virajate, who is supremely resplendent. Okay, and when you say you are supreme, he is supremely resplendent, why do you say that? Because vinamatam ajnana munmulayan. Vinamata means those who have surrendered. Ajnanam, ignorance. Meaning of bhaktas and shishyas who have surrendered to him, he dispels their vinamatam ajnanam. The ajnanam of those who have surrendered unto him, dispelling that. Okay? So he himself has attained that state. And what does he do? He shines resplendent, destroying the ignorance of all those who seek assistance from him. Then, థర్డ్ పాద పశ్యన్ విశ్వమపీదం ఉల్లసతియో విశ్వస్య పారే పరః యః హి హు పశ్యన్ విశ్వమపి. ఈవన్ దో హీ కంటిన్యూస్ టు సీ ద వరల్డ్, పశ్యన్ విశ్వం, అదర్వైజ్ హౌ విల్ హీ హెల్ప్ ద భక్తాస్ అండ్ శిష్యాస్? So, ever available for the bhaktas and shishyas, even though he has realized that ultimate reality, he could have stayed that only. But who shines resplendently, destroying the ignorance of bhaktas and shishyas, pashyan vishvamapidam, even though he is perceiving the world, ఉల్లసతియో, who again is shines, or you know, who is so blossomed. Vishvasya pare paraha. Okay, who just revels and who shines and you know is fully fulfilled. In that supreme, which is what? Which is in the other shore of the ocean. Sorry, which is in the other shore of this world, of the samsara. Meaning, even though he sees the world, he is beyond the world. That is what is meant here. To such, tasmai Shri Ramanaya Loka Gurave, to that guru of this world, Jagadguru, to this guru of this world, Shri Ramana, Shokasya Hantre, who is the dispeller, destroyer of all sorrows, Namaha, okay, Namaha, salutations. So salutations unto Shri Ramana, the Loka Guru, the destroyer of the sorrows, destroyer of sorrow, who puts an end to sorrow, who even though perceives this world, has transcended it, who after having established himself in that supreme state, which is eternal, of the nature of consciousness, and which is beyond the touch of ignorance, established that state, what does he do? He dispels the ignorance of the of those who have surrendered to him. So this is the verse. So every day we will chant this verse before we start our Upadesha Sara. Okay. Antaryasya bahirvidhuta timiram jyotirmayam shashvatam स्थानं प्राप्य विराजते विनमताम् अज्ञानमुन्मूलयन् पश्यन् विश्वमपीदमुल्लसति यो विश्वस्य पारे परः तस्मै श्रीरमणाय लोकगुरवे शोकस्य हन्त्रे नमः. It is said in the Narada Bhakti Sutra that till one reaches the truth, the Shastra is the umbrella for the seeker. And once one has reached the truth, one becomes the umbrella of the Shastra. Meaning one protects the Shastra. That is how. What it means is that a Mahatma is the very proof of the validity of the Shastras. We say the Mahatma is the umbrella of the Shastra, what we mean by that? When people wonder about the Shastra and what it communicates, then the Mahatma becomes that support for the Shastra. Interestingly, Bhagavan Ramana Maharshi did not study any Shastra. So one gives one's gratitude to the Shastra by enabling others to comprehend the Shastra after oneself gaining the full benefit. But with Ramana Maharshi, he did not go through any Shastra. One may say, well, he may not have gone through this janma, but earlier janmas. That is all, those and all are okay. But in this life, we don't find he having gone through the Shastra. The story of Bhagavan Ramana Maharshi is it's well known and available also. Even in your book, Pujya Guruji has written a short biographical sketch of Bhagavan Ramana Maharshi. It's available in many places, so I'm not going to go chronologically, you know, when he was born and at what age, what happened, and all. He lived, Bhagavan Ramana Maharshi lived when? He started 19th, is it not? We would say 19th, 1896 was his birth. 1879 was his birth, correct, 1879. So 1879 is 19th century, correct? Right. And then he lived up to the, around 70 years or so he lived, up to 1950, in the, so that is what, that is 20th century. So very, very recent only. So the history is all very well available. So those who want to know more about it, please do that. But let me touch the highlights of his life. So as a very, very young boy, he was just a very normal, like every young boys and girls, a very normal person. Just lived a very jolly with friends and all, going, taking, swimming in the river, all normal, nothing specific. If at all friends remember, they remember that when he goes to sleep, he is totally oblivious of everything. His sleep used to be so deep that even if they were, beat him up and all those things, friends recount that he would not even know. He used to have such deep sleep. So you can also think that we are also close to Bhagavan Ramana Maharshi that way. So that is what the friends say. Then what else? It is said that once when he was a small boy, very young, very, very small boy, although his father's, various office papers or the legal, whatever, he made boats out of it and made, what they call, those kind of things, boats of it and all those things, and he played with that, and they got so angry with him and scolded him, and he just disappeared from home. And they searched and could not find, and finally they tracked him behind the idol of Devi, he was hiding in the temple. Even at that young, like that, there are some small anecdotes related to Bhagavan Ramana Maharshi. So as such, he was a very, very normal person. When he was around, 15 or 16, at that time some relative had come to his home. And then he was a young boy, he asked, "Where have you come from? Where?" He said, "I've come from Arunachala." When he heard that word, Arunachala, something really, Arunachala, immediately kind of connection. See, Mahatmas like this are not made one janma, they're all yogis. And they, born, suddenly some connection. And immediately, he was so, like the whole body underwent a kind of a, Arunachala, again. So suddenly said that person said, "What, you do not know Arunachala? That is same Thiruvannamalai." So suddenly, that kind of connection, Arunachala. Oh, that is a place also. Because Arunachala for him was Bhagavan. Not that he had heard Arunachala or anything like that before, but when he heard that Arunachala, suddenly his mind, something opened up and some kind of connection. And then he understood that, yes, Thiruvannamalai, oh, so that went very strong. From that time onwards, some small changes. See, the young boys and all, they are not interested in learning, reading spiritual things and all. He took the Periyapuranam. Periyapuranam is the life history of the 63 Nayanmars, who are the Tamil Shaivite saints, devotees of Bhagavan Shiva. And he went through the entire life of those 63 saints, the Periyapuranam. And he felt very, very deeply moved. So like that, small things are there. These are not small things, of course. They all, you know, just opened up for him. And then when few months after that Arunachala, he read that, you know, around when he was maybe 16 and a half or around that age, 17, sometime around that age, these dates and all are little bit here and there. So when he was around that age, suddenly a turning point kind of thing happened. Somewhere around mid-July 1896, so around 17 you can put, around that age. So I will just read out exactly what is, rather than me telling you a story, I will just read out exactly in his words. Of course, it was from Tamil, we have translated to English. Okay. For no apparent reason, he suddenly felt overwhelmed by a sudden and violent fear of death. Kind of felt, I'm dying, you know, that kind of. So he narrates this experience, Bhagavan Ramana Maharshi. I'm going to read out now. It was about 6 weeks before I left Madurai. That is, after this experience got over, he left his home once for all. So that is what is there, you know. So it was about 6 weeks before I left Madurai for good that a great change in my life took place. It was quite sudden. I was sitting in a room on the first floor of my uncle's house. I seldom had any sickness, and on that day there was nothing wrong with my health. But a sudden violent fear of death overtook me. There was nothing in my state of health to account for it. But I did not try to account for it or to find out whether there was any reason for the fear. I just felt I'm going to die and began thinking what to do about it. It did not occur to me to consult a doctor or my elders or friends. I felt I had to solve the problem myself then and there. The shock of the fear of the death drove my mind inwards. And I said to myself mentally, without actually framing the words, now death has come. What does it mean? What is it that is dying? This body dies. And at once I dramatized the occurrence of death. I lay with my limbs stretched out, stiff as though rigor mortis had set in, and imitated a corpse so as to give greater reality to the inquiry. I held my breath and kept my lips tightly closed so that no sound could escape, so that neither the word I nor any other word could be uttered. Well, then I said to myself, this body is dead. It'll be carried stiff to the burning ground and there burned and reduced to ashes. But with the death of this body, am I dead? Is the body I? It is silent and inert, but I feel the full force of my personality and even the voice of I within me apart from it. So I am spirit transcending the body. The body dies, but the spirit that transcends it cannot be touched by death. This means I am the deathless spirit. All this was not dull thought. It flashed through me vividly as a living truth, and I perceived directly, almost without thought process, I was something very real, the only real thing for my present state, and all the conscious activity connected with my body was centered on that I. From that moment onwards, the I or self focused attention on itself by a powerful fascination. Fear of death had vanished once and for all. Absorption in the self
continued unbroken from that time on. Other thoughts might come and go like various notes of music, but the I continued like the fundamental Shruti note that underlies and blends with all other notes. Whether the body was engaged in talking, reading, or anything else, I was still centered on I. Previous to this crisis, I had no clear perception of myself and was not consciously attracted to it. I felt no perceptible or divine interest in it, much less any inclination to dwell permanently in it. So this was the experience Bhagavan Ramana Maharshi recounts. We who have studied Vedanta will say, this is Atma Anatma Viveka. Tattva Viveka Kaha, Atma Satyam, Tadanyat Sarvam Mityeti. So this and all we will be able to say because we have studied, but this is a young boy, 16, 17 years old. And he went through this very transforming experience. And then onwards, you know, he was not anymore that usual boy. He had just changed, totally changed. See, he was a school-going boy. His father had died when he was very young, at 12. And he was staying with his paternal uncle's place, you know, his brother, and they were all there. So, you know, going to school and then coming and all those things, he just lost total interest in the whole thing. And his attention was totally, you know, dwelling in that self. So, you know, it just could not be possible for him to do anything else. Then, when such was a thing, school he did not do something or, you know, and they give, you know, imposition. I do not know nowadays, I do not know even now they give, but our times the imposition was there. Write 100 times. If you don't do a homework, you know, write 100 times. And you have to keep mechanically keep on writing. 1,000 times like that and all. So he was writing, you know, that imposition. It is from that grammar book called Bain's Grammar. I don't know if you have seen that. There's one, Brennan Martin, right? You know, Brennan Martin. Before that, what was that English grammar book? Was Bain's Grammar. So he was writing that imposition from that, whatever it was he was writing. He got so fed up with that, he just closed it, threw it, and just closed his eyes and sat in meditation. His brother was watching all, the elder brother was watching all those things. He said, for a person like this, what home? You know, what is the, you know, for a person like this, why should he be in home, something to that effect? And that, you know, kind of woke in him a new face. He decided, yes, all is over. And then he left. He left from 3 rupees, you know, he had to pay for his brother's fees or something, school fees. He looked at, you know, took that money and then he left. Put a note saying that this, he did not say I, this is going for a, so going for a good purpose. So nobody needs to waste searching for it, you know, like that. So left there, you know, that money was not sufficient for reaching the place Thiruvannamalai because he had heard Thiruvannamalai, therefore, you know, so he got down somewhere, started walking, pond, whatever, you know, he had, and then reached the Thiruvannamalai temple, took his Yajnopavita, that sacred thread, put it on the pot, then somebody asked him, do you want to shave your head? Shaved the head. And then, you know, went to have darshan of Bhagavan. See, you should take bath and go, na? After you are taken. He just went. And there was a shower of rain. He took a bath. Went to Bhagavan. Surrender. That's all what it is. Father, I have come. See, you know, he had already realized, so what is there for a Mahatma? just abidance. So right in that temple, in that Patala Guha, as it is said, he just was in Samadhi. Life is very amazing. Small children and all, what they will do? They would take stones. They saw some person, you know, interesting. So took a stone and started throwing stones at him. He was in Samadhi. Finally, you know, one great Mahatma by name Seshadri Swami, he recognized, you know, he himself was a great person. He was that funny Mahatma whom I had mentioned in the class, you know, sometime. Would go into that shop and then throw things off and things like that. He was that kind of Mahatma. So he understood this. Oh. So this is a Bala Yogi. And some, you know, and if they don't take food and all, you know, they're like this for long, the body can just pass away. Therefore, he ensured that, you know, that he is fed, and he took him off. And it is said that when he took him off from that, the body was so much stuck to the earth. Because how many days, weeks he's sitting there. So he took him off from there, the skin all peeled off, it seems. And then washed him, and then slowly started feeding him some milk and all those things, and revived him. Of course, Mahatmas knows Mahatmas. From there he went to different places, stayed this place, that place, all in meditation, and he was in complete silence. So that was how, you know, it was all going. Once, you know, what happened, there was one, I was just mentioning this verse, you know, Kavya Kanta Ganapati Muni had. So this Mahatma, what he did was, you know, he was a great, himself a great sadhak, a great tapasvi, a great yogi, you know, and he's a great scholar also himself, this Kavya Kanta Ganapati Muni. And in his, he had studied in Kashi, all Vedanta, everything he had studied. He was a great scholar, was an astounding scholar. And he could compose extempore. And he was also an ashtavadhani. You know, avadhana, if you know, there's a certain skill of enormous intellectual acumen is required, memory, dharada shakti. In our university also we have an ashtavadhani. So it's a very, very difficult skill. So he, as he was going, you know, sadhakno, so he's going in different places. And then when he reached Trivannamalai, he saw this they call him Balaswami, they used to call, sometimes they call Brahmana Swami. So many ways they used to call him, whatever people, nobody knew his name, no? So they would call whatever name they wanted. So he went there and he saw a young boy, no? So he just prostrated to him. He was silent, he doesn't speak, Ramana Maharshi, he was just silent. So he said, all that has to be read, I have read. So this Kavya Kanta Ganapati Muni, he was just telling. Even Vedanta Shastra, I have fully understood. I have performed japa and puja to my heart's content. Yet I have not up to this time understood what tapas is. Hence, I have sought refuge in your feet. Please enlighten me about the nature of tapas. So like that, he surrendered. So this young Ramana Maharshi just silently gazed at him. She had not spoken from the time he went there and then stepped into that Patala Guha, he had not spoken a single word. So 11 years he had not opened his mouth. Okay, that was how it was. So when he saw this, you know, very mature person and who has done all the sadhanas and everything and standing in front of him requesting for help, he spoke his mauna after 11 years. Then he said, if you watch where the notion of I springs, okay, carefully, yeah? If one watches where this notion of I springs, the mind will be absorbed in that. If one watches where the notion of I springs, the mind will be absorbed in that. That is tapas. If mantra is repeated and attention is directed to the source where the mantra sound is produced, where the mantra itself arises, the mind will be absorbed in that. That is tapas. So this way, see, Mahatma may not have studied Shastra, but jnanis are what? Jnanis don't have to study Shastra, it is their experience. The one who doesn't have experience studies the Shastra for the experience. For the one who has gained the experience, what Shastra? They become embodiments of Shastra. So he just, like that when he said, immediately our, you know, Kavya Kadda Ganapati Muni, he immediately understood the significance of this teaching. He has studied all Vedanta. But this kind of, you know, guidance at the right time, what is to be given, that Mahatma just gave. And that helped him to go deeper and then, you know, to abide. And in, you know, in celebration or celebration of the event, you know, he was a Devi Bhakta. So celebrating this event of having found a guru, Devi sent the guru. Otherwise, God only sends the guru. You don't find the guru, you see. So he started, he composed, you know, a text called Uma Sahasram. 1000 verses, Uma, Uma, Devi, Mother, Mother, Divine Mother. And he composed that whole thing, and that is considered to be the magnum opus of Kavya Kanta Ganapati Muni. And it is he, Kavya Kanta Ganapati Muni, who gave the name Bhagavan Ramana Maharshi. Otherwise, you know, nobody, you know, he found out his name was Venkata Raman. That was his name his parents had given. So, you know, so from that he took that Ramana, you know, the Raman, Venkata Ramana, that Raman, he took that Raman, Ramana, and then said, Bhagavan Ramana Maharshi. Why Maharshi? Because his teachings are very unique. See, it is the same Vedanta, but you know, Bhagavan Ramana Maharshi did not go through that kind of, you know, step one, step two, step two, you know, all those definitions and then concepts and all. He just somehow, you know, they are all, you know, yogis only what they are. So he just, you know, from his insight, the way he presented, you will also see the way Ramana Maharshi presents is Vedanta only, but it has got its own very unique flavor. What is that unique flavor? Every teaching of his will go back to self-inquiry. So that is very, very unique. We also, you know, we study Vedanta and find the I. So what he, Ramana Maharshi, does is that he says you just track the I. We study Nirguno, Nishkriyo, Nityo, and then we say self is of the nature of Nirguna. We study Brahman, Satchidananda, and when we say Aham Brahmasmi, you know. That is because we study and then we apply. For him, he applied. He just, you know, inquired into what is this I which is dying. And from that, he discovered the whole, that realization happened. And therefore, that flavor of tracking out what the self is, consciously trying to comprehend what the self is, intuitively trying to come to that experience, is very, very close to Bhagavan Ramana Maharshi's method. So you will find all through this kind of, you know, connecting to the source will be very, very, very strong. So, you know, since he has found a unique, usually we say rishis. What do we say? Who are we rishis? Rishayaha mantra drashtaraha. Those who experience the mantra, find, you know, new discoveries. We call them rishis. So he called Bhagavan Ramana Maharshi, and that name stuck with him. And then from then on, for Kavya Kanta Ganapati Muni, he opened his mouth. And the world was benefited so much for so long. That is why it is said, you know, one is Shrotriya, another is Brahmanishta. These are all, you know, every Shastra mentions. But you, one more very important thing required for the teacher is compassion. It is that compassion which will actually make somebody a teacher, a guru actually. And these are all determined by Bhagavan. It is not something, you know, Ramana Maharshi wanted to be compassionate or something. It is just Bhagavan working and all these things happen. So that is how, you know, it goes. So like that, so many things we can say about Bhagavan Ramana Maharshi. Lot of people, once Ramana Maharshi became a little known to others, then many, many advanced people and scholars and other people, you know, they started coming. One very important Advaita scholar and a great, sadhak is one Jagadish Shastri. This Jagadish Shastri, they also came, he also came and was with Bhagavan Ramana Maharshi. And since he was a great, scholar, so slowly when the ashram and all started, coming up around him, then he used to give, every day he used to give, his, explanation on this text or that text. Daily that thing would go on. And Ramana Maharshi would go and sit in the back. In the corner he would sit and then listen to all of them. Okay? And somebody asked then, what is the need for you to come? We want to go for Vedanta to study, but why you want to come? He said, no, I'm just seeing what the Shastras are telling about me. What they're telling. Then he says, correct only. Everything is correct only. Everything is correct. See, this is what we mean by the Mahatma is the umbrella of the Shastra. Ajnani is like us. We cannot tell what the Shastra is telling true or not. We have no right to tell. Shastra is a Pramana. But a Mahatma who has experienced it, and this is a Mahatma who did not go through the Shastra to experience. This is a Mahatma who, can I say, stumbled upon it? I have no words to say. You cannot say stumbled also. Everything has got this is a cosmos. Everything happens. So that Mahatma who had not gone to the Shastra came to this, and when the teaching is given, it's correct. Correct. This is also correct. That is also correct. This is every Upanishad, correct, 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 correct. So that kind of, and slowly, the mind is very powerful of this Mahatma said all. Sattva is so high, So he started from whatever they were talking and all, he started understanding all the languages. So he Sanskrit, Tamil was his mother tongue, so Sanskrit, Malayalam, Telugu. People were just talking around him. From that he gained all the mastery over all the languages. And slowly he started composing himself. He started translating. Atmabodha is translated into Tamil by, the verses, it is there. By Ramana Maharshi. Atmabodha is there. Hastamalakim is there. What else is there? From some Agamas also, Devikalottara, from there also it is there. Many, many, Vivekachudamani, some verses, not the whole, but some verses he has translated. Bhagavad Gita, he has taken few, 47 verses, if I remember well. I don't remember all those numbers exactly now. So 47 verses, he has summarized the entire Bhagavad Gita. Like summarized means translated, all those, he selected the verses, not translated, selected the verses from lot of things Bhagavan Ramana Maharshi has done, and many works are, ascribed Arunachala Stuti Panchakam. So some of them in Tamil, some of them, this Upadesha Sara, what we have now, he himself, it was originally composed in Tamil, then he translated into Sanskrit, then he translated also in Malayalam, he translated also into Telugu. He himself did all those things. And Kavya Kanta Ganapati Muni. This Kavya Kanta Ganapati Muni, how the name Kavya Kanta comes? Ganapati was his name. And because he was a very, Sadhaka type, the Muni came to be attached to him. How Kavya Kanta came to him, there is one anecdote. So, he is a very known, well-known scholar and a great kind of Siddha kind of person he is. Therefore, they used to invite him for talks and all. Please come and bless us with some benediction address, some inaugural address, this, that and all. So he used to go for all these sabhas and all these programs. And in the course of it, he's Ashukavi, he could compose extempore. So he will summarize some teaching of Bhagavan Ramana Maharshi and say it in a shloka. And then he will say, this is from Ramana Gita. Suppose you send a Bhagavad Gita, from Rubhu Gita, from this Upanishad, that Upanishad. So he would compose a shloka and then say, this is from Ramana Gita. Then people are wondering, what is this Ramana Gita we have not seen? So they went to Bhagavan Ramana Maharshi and says, you have written one book called Ramana Gita, it seems. Ramana Maharshi said, I don't know anything Ramana Gita and all those things. So they called this Kavya Kanta Ganapati. Said, what is this Ramana Gita you are quoting from everywhere, it seems? They said, you should please forgive me, Bhagavan, for wherever I go when they ask for, So what I do is that I compose a verse. Your teachings only it is. And therefore I compose a verse and then I say, this is from Ramana Gita. That is why it is. You must excuse me. Without asking your permission, I have. So Ramana Maharshi laughed, And the Ramana Gita also, it is the form of, later on he put them all together, the form of a question answer and all those things. He's asking question and Ramana Maharshi is teaching. Like that, there is one book called Ramana Gita also. You can all see. This Kavya Kanta Ganapati Muni, he was not just a Vedantin also. He was a Upasaka. He was also into, things like, he was a very multifaceted person. That's all I can tell you. Very different. He was also associated with Sri Aurobindo also. He would go there. So like that is a very interesting life. Siddhis and so many things, he has got that kind of a diverse mind. All right. So now we have seen the brief history of Ramana Maharshi. Now we should go into Upadesha Sara, is it not? That is the main purpose, Story and all, you can go for yourself, see for yourself. Or should I tell all stories? You all go through it. This Upadesha Sara has got a very interesting anecdote. There was a bell, Ezra. We'll take it up in the evening class. What else? Let me complete this sentence. There was a great saint. Saint means very saintly person. His name was Muruganar. He used to live with Bhagavan Ramana Maharshi, Muruganar. Ramana Maharshi attracted some of the exemplary scholars and good quality. Mahatmas will attract only. What can they do? Flower means then all bees will come. So Muruganar was a very, very good Tamil scholar. Was a poet. And so he was composing a work by name Sri Ramana Sannidhi Murai. Sannidhi is presence, Sannidhi of a person, means presence. So Ramana Sannidhi Murai, we can translate as, what can we translate? Homage to the presence of Sri Ramana. Like that, you can translate. So he was composing that in Tamil. Composing in Tamil. It has some 1852 verses. And it is in the Puranic style, where Lord Shiva, he is considering it as Bhagavan Ramana. Guru Brahma, Guru Vishnu, Guru Devo, Maheshwaraha. So Lord Shiva is Ramana, Bhagavan Ramana, and the various incidents and all those things is presenting it as Bhagavan Ramana Maharshi. Shiva is explaining and saying So like that, the whole composition is of this nature. It's in Tamil. So one incident is there for which he says, I cannot write this. He says, I am not qualified to write this. So he stops there. And then when he stops there, and then he says, he goes and requests Bhagavan Ramana Maharshi, saying, this only you can do, I am not qualified to do this. And then Ramana Maharshi accepts his request. What that story is, what the anecdote is, all those things we will see in today evening session. Okay? And then we will take it up.